Jesus, we are here, we are here for you. Savior, Savior, we are here, Savior, we are, Savior, we are here, we are here for you. Master, Master, we are, yes, Master, we are here, we are here for you. Spirit, we are here, Spirit, we are here, Spirit, we are here, we are here for you. Come near to God, and God will come near to you. We are here, and the Lord is here with us as well. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, the Lord Jesus said, he is present in their midst. So we are here, and the Lord is here. What does that mean for you? It means that you may meet God right now in this place at this time. You may sense God's presence. You may hear his voice. You may feel God's touch on your life. Some others may not be here today, but God is all the time. For you. So let us present ourselves. Let us come in all humility. Frail as we are, weak as we are, just let us come. The Lord invites us. And as we come, let us lift up our praise and all thanksgiving to our God. God has blessed us. God is good to us all the time. Now from our hearts, each and every one, give your thanksgiving. Offer your praise. The Lord inhabits the praise of his people. Bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. What do we say? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Gracious God, receive our praise and our thanksgiving now. You are a good God, a gracious God, a generous God. We give you our thanks. And Lord, we give you our failings and our faults and our sins, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Have mercy upon us. We give you our hurts, our frustrations, our pains, our disappointments, our sicknesses. Come, O Lord, and touch us in our souls and make us whole. Touch our bodies and heal us. Ask God to touch you now, just where you hurt. Ask God to heal you. Ask the Savior to help you. We come today and we offer our thanksgiving and prayers for those before us, especially We thank you, Lord, for the good news we are getting concerning Jason's health, how we continue to lift this young man to you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in his life. Keep all who pray for him encouraged and hopeful. We pray for Robert and his family in this time of bereavement. You know the loss they have suffered. But Lord, you are present. You are still their God. In turning to you, may they find strength and comfort and hope. Also, Lord, we lift up Tom and his family, for his broken body, for the disease that affects it. We ask, gracious God, for a healing touch for this person. That Tom would feel your mighty hand upon him and the deliverance that comes from above, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. May he be healed and made well. We also pray for Jenny in her time of sickness. Whatever afflicts her, whatever breaks her body down, that you, O Lord, will be merciful to her, that you would reach out your mighty hand, your healing hand, and you would speak the word and let your servant be healed. And for all that take care of them and others, for all caregivers, for families that struggle with those who are not doing well, we ask, Lord, for grace sufficient for them to tarry, to watch, to support, to uphold. We pray for our country and our president, our leaders. We pray for a troubled world. And Lord, the many things that we bring to you day in and day out from our hearts in our prayer times, you know them, O Lord. We know you're good and you're gracious, and you would hear our prayers. Today, as we sit here and listen to your word, we thank you that you're present. We thank you that you would speak. We ask for open hearts and obedient hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear these our prayers that we ask in the name of the one who taught us in our praying to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Number 380, let us sing it with spirit and vitality. There is within my heart a melody. If you know it, sing it. And would you please stand? You'll be sitting for a long time. I'll be on my feet. Would you please stand? There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife,
Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. For sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath his sheltering wings, always looking on his smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Amen. Let us be seated. And the next time we sing a song like that, if any of you have rhythm, you know, you're free to express it. We won't tell anybody what you did in church, but if you have vitality and rhythm, I'll be sure to show it some Sunday. Please come back with me to our text for today. You heard it read already from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Our focus is verse 3. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is not the things of this world that sustain us altogether as human beings. It's the things of God. This word was given to the people of Israel on their 150-mile journey from the land of Egypt to the land of promise. Normally, the journey might have taken, let us say, a week or so, but it has taken them 40 long years. Why? God was teaching them a lesson. What lesson, you may ask? Namely this: you do not live by bread alone, material things alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And it took God 40 years to teach them that lesson. That's very comforting for me as a preacher, I would tell you. During those 40 years, they were not, let us say, a sedentary population, so they can plant the things that sedentary people could plant, but God fed them. During those 40 years, their clothes did not wear out. The sandals on their feet were the same. They needed no Dr. Scholl's, you know, inserts. Read it in the text. They didn't suffer things like foot disease, nor their feet did not swell these 40 years of walking. Why did God lead them this way, this long? To teach them a lesson. You do not live on bread alone. Your body lives because God sustains it through the food that God gives, yes. Your soul lives because God sustains it through His all-powerful word. The power that sustains all things comes from the word of God. So in Matthew chapter 4, after fasting for 40 days, Jesus is hungry. The tempter comes to him and says, what? You are hungry, man. Turn these stones into bread if you are the Son of God. What did Jesus do? You remember? Jesus went back to this scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, for the Old Testament we have was his Bible. And Jesus quoted this verse to the devil, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So the lesson that God gave Israel that day is the lesson for us today. It is a lesson about, let us say, our human nature, who we are. We are body and we are spirit. Your body lives on material stuff. Your spirit lives on spiritual stuff. Man does not live by bread alone. But you may say, preacher, I know I have a body. I see it every time I encounter it. But what about my soul? Do I really have a soul? Is there another side to me, you may ask? Read the word of God, Genesis 2, 3. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. And then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of lives. And man became a living being. So in you, in me, there is something not physical. There is something of God in you as you sit here today. God placed in us the breath of lives. So the next time you look into the mirror, you see yourself, remind yourself, there is more to me than that I'm seeing there. The next time you sit and you eat a meal, remind yourself, there's a spiritual part of me that needs to be fed as well. He's teaching them a lesson about who they are. Body and spirit, or body and soul. You don't live on bread alone. A missionary in Abidjan, Ivory Coast, was on his way back to Chad. Chad at the time was going through a horrible civil war. And as he stopped in Chad, he was asked, what do you want to take along to complete your 40 pounds of baggage allowance? Do you want some sugar? Do you want some rice? Do you want some medical supplies? The missionary said, I could have some Bibles, can't I? And then he quoted Deuteronomy 8:3. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. For that pastor understood this. Although the people there were in war-torn Chad, although they were hungry, although they lacked adequate medical supplies, although they were without many of the basic necessities of life, he understood this. They also needed the word of God. We do not live by bread alone. And so the lesson comes to us today, to my heart first, to yours. There's another side to me. It needs God. It needs the bread of life. So we sing in the song, "Bread of Heaven, feed me till I want no more." There's a lesson here. A lesson about who you are. Body, spirit. We need God. But secondly, it teaches us something about our human neglect, in that we are prone to neglect the soul. So for these 40 years, these people rebelled against God. They were more obsessed with material things. The Lord is disciplining them, as you see in verse 5, and teaching them a lesson. You don't live by bread alone. You don't live off the stuff you put in the grocery cart when you go to Myers or wherever you shop. You need spiritual stuff as well. And so there are bread alone people in the world. People who say, "I am too busy to pray. I am too busy to read the Bible. I am too busy to attend a church. I don't have time for that sort of stuff." Bread alone people. Suppose you go to your physician, and your physician says to you, "I know you're a very busy man. You have a full life. You're a very busy woman. Oh, you know, you could eat whenever you find time to eat. You know, you could have a 3-minute meal. Doesn't matter. Exercise when you get around to it." Huh? Will you continue to help that physician pay for his Mercedes? Huh? But we treat our souls that way, don't we? I do what I can when I can. I think I read somewhere some time ago where somebody said, the requirements to join certain civic clubs are far greater than they are to join the local church. Nobody expects anything from me when I say I'm a Christian and I'm a member of Sanford United Methodist Church. I could attend when I like. I could pray if I want. I could read the Bible when I get around to it. I'll give what I please. I'll serve if I have the time. Huh? Are you with me? Is anybody else here besides? People remind me all the time. But we are listening. So I check myself for that. You're listening. We tend to neglect the spiritual. And friends, I face the temptation myself, please. I face the temptation too. How many times I've caught myself, I'm doing my devotions, and something is reminding me, you have a lot to do today, cut it short. Oh yeah, that voice speaks to me too. Cut it short, think of everything you have to do today. And then I would remember the words of Martin Luther, the reformer. Martin Luther had a way of saying, today I have so much to do, I must spend another hour with God. Isn't that a different perspective? That the more I have to do, the more I should spend my time with God each day. So every day we need the Lord. We should not neglect the soul. We do not live on bread alone. I don't know how many of you remember Anatoly Sharansky. He is still active in politics in Israel. But he was a dissident Soviet Jew for many years. He and his wife were arrested. She was freed soon after the arrest, and he kissed her goodbye and said to her, I'll see you soon in Jerusalem. But that was not to be. He was sentenced to prison and to Russian labor camps. There he was stripped of all his possessions, except one thing, a small copy of the Book of Psalms that he refused to give up. And Anatoly Saransky spent 130 days in solitary confinement because he refused to give up the Book of Psalms. Finally, 12 years later, he was released from prison. And maybe some of you remember seeing it. I still remember seeing that event on national TV. February 1986, the world watched as that man crossed one line from his captors to another line to freedom. But before what we saw happened on TV, his captors tried to take that Book of Psalms away from him. And he threw himself down in the snow on the ground, refusing to let go of it. That book sustained him in captivity, and he would not give it up even though he would be in freedom. He understood something that God wants all of us to know. We do not live by bread alone. The Word of God sustains us. It keeps us. It saves us. It helps us. Live by it. Do not neglect it. The answer to many of our problems is therefore found in the Bible. The power to resist temptation is found in the Word of God. The late Paul Harvey, maybe some of you heard him say this, once said, "You know, in every Ramada Inn in the United States, there is an AIDS prevention kit. In the drawer of the nightstand." Then he repeated it. "You know, in every Ramada Inn in the United States, there is an AIDS prevention kit in the drawer of the nightstand." The Gideon Bible. Now, we understand he is overstating it. We understand that's not an absolute statement, but it makes a point. Live by the Word of God. Keep God's commandments, and you would live. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word coming out of the mouth of God. Third and finally, the lesson God is teaching them, not just about their human nature, body and spirit, not just about human neglect, that tendency in us to neglect the spiritual, is talking about a great human need. We need every word coming from the mouth of God. These people, though Jews, they are very much Egyptian in culture. God has brought them out of the land, and they're saying to God, as it were, "Thank you very much. We could make it from here on. We don't need you. We could read maps. We could find our way." But the Lord humbles them. The Lord reminds these arrogant people, "Nothing happens in this world without me. Nothing is given apart from my word. If you sleep, it's because of me. If you're awake, it's because of me. If you live, it's because of me. When you die, it's because of me. I am in charge." You see it in verse 5. "Know then in your heart that as a parent disciplines a child, so the Lord disciplines you." You're rebellious people. You do not live by bread alone,
but by every word of God.
And there's a message here today, friends. I hope I could get it across to you, and even for myself. The word of God is a real, living, powerful thing. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God spoke, it happened. The word of God. Remember when the centurion came to Jesus, asking Jesus to heal his son? And Jesus is on his way to heal the man's son. And what did he say to Jesus? Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Just speak the word, and my servant would be healed. Jesus spoke. His servant was healed. The power of God's word. The word of God is God's will in motion. God's power at work. And I pray that today the power of God's word would be manifested here among us. Speak the word. Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word coming from the mouth of God. And so that's the problem for us, right? You mean every word in the Bible? Well, I mean whatever the Bible means by that. You mean every word in the Bible? That's our problem, isn't it? We want to treat the Bible like a smorgasbord, you know what I mean? Pick and choose what we like. You know, you go to the smorgasbord, I always feel I never get my money's worth there because I possibly take about 10% of the dishes displayed. We pick and choose. I want this, I want that. And we bring that to the Word of God. Oh, I don't believe that. I don't believe this. God didn't really mean that. And if you have been in some of the places I've been in terms of being a student in school, you meet those who want to rewrite the Bible, amend the Bible, change the text. And what they end up with is their Bible, not the Bible. Every word, that's our problem. We don't want to accept everything in that book. It's offensive. We are modern people, children of the Enlightenment. We have come of age. I'm not going to believe all that stuff in the Bible. No way. So let me ask you this, since you risk coming to church today. There are 10 commandments. Which ones would you like to give up? I'm just asking. There are 66 books in the Bible. Which ones would you like to be removed? I'm just asking. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. Which ones would you like to be removed? Want some time to think? There are about 3,100 verses, depending on who is counting verses, in the Bible. Which ones would you like to hit the delete key, and see vanish to the trash can? Every word of God, I must live on that. Every word. Well, which ones do you want to give up? I was sharing with the people in Bible Talk back last Wednesday the story of this woman who went to a church where the pastor was a liberal, to be honest. It's time we name some of these people. So he would stand in the pulpit on Sundays and he would say, well, this verse in the Bible is not inspired by God. That verse is not in the original text. This doesn't belong. This doesn't fit in. God never planned for this to be written. And there was a very simple-minded lady, and she would go home. And whenever the pastor would speak so of a piece of scripture, she took her scissors and she cut it out of the Bible. You know, this is an inspired one, we cut it out. This is an anomalous text, we cut it out. So one day the pastor visited her, and after time of talking, he wanted to read some scriptures for her. So he asked for her Bible, and she presented him her Bible, and as he looked at it, so much was missing. And he asked, well, what has happened to your Bible? She said, well, Pastor, every time you said a piece shouldn't be in it, I came when I cut it out. This is all the Bible you have left me with. Man lives on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We should hear what the Bible says about itself, friends. And we should hear what Jesus says about his word. Remember the word of Jesus? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. What does the Bible say about itself? All scripture is given by God. It is inspired. So I ask you today, friends, if the Bible is not God's word, whose word is it? Who in history will stand up and claim the Bible is theirs? If not God's word, whose word is it? Is it man's word? The devil's word? Whose word? Well, if the Bible is not God's word, then what is God's word? The Quran? If not the Bible, what then is the word of God? Where is it if not the Bible? Man does not live by bread alone, by every word. As I love to say, look, I have studied the languages of the Bible. I can read them all. I am not smart enough to know what should be in the Bible and what should not be in it. I would not presume to know more than the apostles and the prophets and the church fathers. I don't know how we do it, friends. We read the scriptures every Sunday morning, and we end up saying, this is the word of the Lord, don't we? And what do you say? Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. We therefore live by his word. We live by every word coming from the mouth of God. And so I could live a life of forgiveness because God speaks a word of forgiveness. I could live a life of peace, for God speaks a word of peace. I could live a life of hope, for God speaks a life of hope. We live by every word coming from the mouth of God. So this week, as we begin to move out of the Lenten season, and you go back to the rest of your life, if you are not doing it now, get into reading the Bible. I know some people, for them to do that, they'll have to blow away some dust, you know. But you could put on a mask if just blow the dust off. And you could open the Bible. Friends, it is easier to open the Bible than to open, you know, like one of those little containers of Tylenol, you know. You ever had to twist those caps? Can't get it off so hard, right to the left. Can't get it. It is easier to open the Bible than a little, you know, bottle or whatever of Tylenol or aspirin. Open the Bible and read it. Read the Bible daily. We live by every word coming from the mouth of God. How much time should I spend reading it, you ask? I don't want to be judgmental, friends, but if you ask that question, you have a problem. How much time to spend with God We don't think like that. Amen? It's the Almighty. How much time? Whose time is it? Yours or His? How much time? No. How many people here, when you sit down to eat, you put a clock on the table, you know? To time yourself eating. Do we do that? No, this is time to eat. I don't care how long it takes, I'm going to eat. It takes 30, we're going to eat. I'm just trying to make a point. It doesn't have to take all the time in the world. You do it until you are satisfied. You do it until you got enough. You do it until it is complete. You read the Word of God. Don't insult God by it. Meditate on the Word of God. Meditate means to chew the cud. Like the goat, you know. Take it in. And on Wednesday evening in the Lenten study, we are going to flesh this out, get into the nitty-gritties, the basic elements on it. So this will be expanded 1,000 times more in the Lenten study. Meditate on it. When you read the Bible, God is speaking to you. When you pray, you are speaking to God. Read the Bible. God is speaking to you. But you say, I get nothing from it. Help is here. On Wednesday night, we'll show you how you could get more than you ever dreamt out of it. But just for this moment, to get something out of it, read it expecting to get something. Read it expectantly. That is, as you read the scriptures, ask yourself, is there a lesson here for me to learn today? Are you with me? As you read it, you ask yourself, is there a sin here for me to confess? As you read it, is there a promise here for me to claim? What is this saying to my life right now? What does God want me to do? What am I hearing from the Lord? Who do I know that need to hear this lesson I'm reading here? You read it expectantly. You read it prayerfully. Yes, you could actually be praying over it, and we will talk about that on Wednesday as well. You read it prayerfully. You read it obediently. That is, I live by every word coming from the mouth of God. I'm going to do what the Lord says. So if the scripture says, humble yourself before the Lord, Lord, I humble myself to you. I submit to you. If it says, love the Lord with all your heart, I say, Lord, help me to love you with all my heart. Help me to do loving things for you this day. I pray it back. And sisters and brothers, I do it every day. Every day I meet with God. Every day I read His word. I do not live by bread alone. It was back, I think, 1970. I was living for a little while in New York City. And I went through my first winter. And I think something was happening in my hair. You can still see this happening, right? Something was happening with this. It wasn't like it was back in Trinidad. So I went to a pharmacy, and I told the pharmacist, hey, look at this. This is not, you know. And he said I needed a certain vitamin, and he came up with a container big like that. I asked him, why do I need all of those? He said, well, you see, the body doesn't store vitamins. Every day you take one. That's why we have the one a day, you know. Every day you have to take some. I got the message. My soul does not store blessings. Every day I have to come to God. Every day I open His word. Every day I live by the things He has given. Man doesn't live on bread alone, but on
every word coming from the mouth of God. Amen. Let us pray. It took 40 years for God to teach them this lesson. 40 years. And you know, some of those people didn't get it. Some of them didn't get it. They rebelled. And the generation that left Egypt, those 40 years and older, they died in the wilderness. They didn't get the lesson that God is God. It took 40 years. How long have we been coming to church? How long have we been doing the Christian thing? Do we get it? That we don't live by our good activities? We don't get to heaven because we are good people? We need God, a personal relationship, to know the Lord personally. We do not live by bread alone. We need something of God in our souls. Lent is a time for all of this, friends. Lent is a time for us to do serious looking at our hearts and our lives, to examine the journey we are on. And this word comes to us today, friends, to my heart and to yours. Every day we need to look to God, to feed on God, to build up our inner lives, to nourish our souls. And as we move out of Lent, let us make a commitment. Lord, for the rest of my life, I would spend some time every day as you give me strength, reading your word, digesting it, meditating on it. Yes, Lord, I'll find some time each day to read your word, to listen to your voice. Would you make that commitment now? Would you say, Lord, every day from this point forth, I'll feed my soul. I live in your word every day. Lord, here we are. This is our commitment in the name of Christ. Amen. Now let us give our gifts to God.